Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we continue our sermon series on the book of Ephesians. The first week, we talked about Ephesians 1 and God's abundant blessings. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Last week, we talked about Ephesians 2 and the abundant grace of God. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. So this week, we move on to Ephesians chapter 3, which contains one of the greatest prayers of the Bible and talks about God's abundant love. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21 is a magnificent prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians, that they might be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that they can begin to understand the incredible love of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 reads like this, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." What a great prayer. It takes nothing less than the divine power of the Holy Spirit that we may even begin to comprehend the incredible, amazing, overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. Paul says that the love of Christ is four-dimensional. It has, according to Ephesians 3, four dimensions: width, length, height, and depth. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's what we're going to focus on, the four-dimensional love of Christ. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Jesus. So the four-dimensional love of Christ. First of all, Christ's love is wide. Jesus loves everybody. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." The love of Christ is wide because Jesus loves everybody. His love knows no boundaries. His love has no limits. Jesus loves every single person who's ever been born or who has yet to be born. There are no exceptions to this rule. The love of Christ is broad and wide. Jesus loves everybody. John 3:16 is the most translated sentence in history, and it should be. It's probably the most well-known sentence in history, and it should be. Luther called it the Bible in miniature. John 3:16 talks about the fact that God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Notice God doesn't just love nice people, or people who go to church, or people who behave themselves. God loves the world. God loves everybody. The world's a big place, and that includes everyone you can think of. It includes every sinner on this planet. God loves every sinner on this planet. It includes people who go to church. God loves people who go to church and those who don't go to church. God loves nice people and not so nice people. God loves men. God loves women. God loves people of all religions, all ethnic groups, all skin colors, and every single culture. God loves rich people and the homeless. God loves healthy people and those who are sick. God loves people who are in prison and those who have never even seen the inside of a prison. God loves everybody. Jesus didn't die for some people or most people. Jesus died for all people. 1 John 2 verse 2 tells us he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. The love of Christ is wide because Jesus loves everybody. His love knows no boundaries, and it has no limits. Most important for you to know is that Jesus loves you. He has always loved you. He always will. He will never stop loving you. Which brings us to the second dimension of Christ's love. Christ's love is wide, and Christ's love is long. Point number two, long. Jesus loves forever. Psalm 136, verse 1. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." I said that Christ's love is four-dimensional, and some of you might have maybe objected to that description. You might be thinking, well, we live in a three-dimensional universe. There's only three dimensions to everything. How can Christ's love be four-dimensional? But people forget that there is a fourth dimension in the universe, and that's called time. Height, width, depth, and time. That's the fourth dimension, how long something exists. Christ's love has a fourth dimension, which is its length. Christ's love is long. In fact, his love for you will last forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He loved you before the world existed, and he will love you not just for a few more decades, but forever, forever and ever. Alleluia. Amen. Now, we all know through painful experience that human love can be short-lived, right? People who might have been our best friends in high school sometimes become complete strangers just a few years later, people we never even talked to. Even family members can sometimes forsake us. Human love is fleeting, but God's love is forever. With God, none of the fears or insecurities people have about love apply. Of course, for God to have an eternal friendship with us, we would have to live forever. So through Jesus Christ, God gives us the free gift of eternal life with him in heaven. God doesn't want us to have a friendship with you that lasts just for a few decades or a friendship that lasts just for a lifetime. God wants a friendship with you that will last for all eternity. And that's why Jesus came to save you from sin and from death and give you eternal life as his free gift, just like we talked about last week. And that is why Jesus has prepared a place for you in heaven. Someday, one day, Jesus, when you breathe your last breath here on earth, will come and take you home to be with him so that you can be with him and experience his love forever. The love of Jesus is wide. Jesus loves everybody. The love of Jesus is long. It lasts forever. And the love of Jesus is also high. It is the highest form of love, higher than any other human love, because, number three, Jesus loves compassionately. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Mark 6, verse 34. Many times, human love is self-serving. Sometimes it's self-absorbed. Sometimes it's just plain selfish. We focus more on our own needs than on the needs of others. But Christ's love is completely the opposite. He has the highest motivation possible. He's always focused on the needs of others, and his love is full of compassion. Listen again to the words of last week's gospel lesson, Mark 6:34. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Splenizomai, the word there, the Greek word for compassion there, is not a feeling of affection towards someone. It's not about being Facebook friends with somebody. Splenizomai is about gut-wrenching compassion. That's what it means. To love someone so much, it hurts. When you really love someone, you don't feel it in your heart, you feel it in your gut. That's where you get the butterflies, right? Sometimes you can love people so much, it really hurts. That's the kind of love Jesus has for you. That's the kind of love Jesus has for everybody. And that's what's different. We might love people, a few people that way, but Jesus loves everybody that way. When Jesus saw the crowd, he felt compassion for them. How do you feel when you see a big crowd? You see a big crowd lined up in front of you at the checkout line, or a big crowd of cars crawling down the highway in front of you. Do you feel compassion for them? I don't. I usually feel annoyed. Why are these people in my way? When Jesus saw the crowd, he felt compassion for them. Not just any compassion, splenizomai, gut-wrenching compassion. Again, Jesus feels that way about everyone, and Jesus feels that way about you. Compassion is the why of Jesus. It's why he does everything. It's why he lived, and it's why he died, and it's why he rose again. It is his core motivation. It's who he is at his very essence. It is the heart and center of everything he does. He is full of splenizomai, full of compassion for everybody and for you. Everything Jesus does is out of his overwhelming compassion for people. Number four, Jesus' love is deep. Jesus loves sacrificially. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. You know, the kind of love that Jesus has, the splenizomai, that compassion, is, in the words of the great rock group Boston, more than a feeling. It compels Jesus to action. That sort of love has to be acted on.
Jesus' love is wide. He loves everybody. Jesus' love is long. He loves forever. Jesus' love is high, full of compassion for others. And Jesus' love is deep because Jesus descended. He would descend all the way to a cross in order to save us from sin. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice God shows us his love, demonstrates his love for us in the cross. I love the cross in our sanctuary because it's so big. Why is it so big? Because the people who made that, our predecessors, the ones who built this church, also built that cross. And I'm guessing that they wanted the biggest cross possible to get across how big God's love for us truly is. It's the physical embodiment of Ephesians 3, verse 18. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. The cross is the ultimate symbol of love because it shows the depths Jesus was willing to go to in order to save us from sin. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 2. Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Philippians 2, 7 and 8. See how the love of Christ motivates him to go lower and lower. His goal is not to rule, but to serve. He begins in heaven, but then lowers himself to come down to earth. But he doesn't just come to earth in all his glory. He lays his glory aside and becomes a human being, just like us, born of a virgin. He's not a king. He's not a high priest. He's not a person of authority. He's the lowest person, the servant of all. And he goes even farther than that. He offers himself as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. He allows himself to be arrested, beaten, mocked, and tortured, and then he is put to death. Not in some noble way, but death on a cross, a criminal's death, the worst kind of death they could think of at that time. But on that cross, he goes even deeper. He goes even lower, suffering the punishment for all our sins, suffering the pain of hell itself for our sins. Jesus did all of that for you. That's how deep he was willing to go on your behalf. Jesus gave it all up just to save you and me from sin and death. And that's why God has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus one day, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It isn't possible with our small, finite human minds to fully grasp the incredible, amazing, overwhelming love of Jesus Christ. It is a love that surpasses knowledge. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we even begin to understand the love of Jesus. His love is four-dimensional. Jesus' love is wide. He loves everybody. Jesus' love is long. He loves forever. Jesus' love is high. It's full of compassion for others. And Jesus' love is deep because Jesus would descend all the way to a cross in order to save us from our sins. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.